Y'all better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team is going to bring back a College World Series title to Bomb Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
We've been talking some Razorback football here this morning. A question for all you Razorback fans out there. Where does your hope lie for Razorbacks taking on Kentucky this weekend to get a victory? Vegas doesn't feel too good. ESPN doesn't feel too good about your odds. But do you feel good about your odds? That's going to be the question. And why do you feel good about those odds? But right now, let's go ahead and get this over with.
I have just one question for you. Are you ready?
I'm ready for this my whole life.
Welcome to the most incredible 2 hours of your life. Here he is. The Clay Henry.
That's right, folks. Clay Henry, the publisher of Hogs Illustrated, joins us now on the Morning Rush. A half an hour earlier this time around. So, Clay, I hope that we didn't have to wake you up any earlier than you normally get up.
No, I get up at 6.
Okay.
I'm fine. I've had my scrambled eggs and raisin bran and got my coffee going. Trying something new this morning. New coffee. Got some hazelnut in it.
Ooh.
So, it's not just straight coffee. So, listening to the intro, that means instead of going to 9, I only have to go to 8:30, right? So, it's 2 hours.
I believe that's the case because we can't pay any more than what we're doing already, Clay. You got to make sure that you keep your hours in check. But
I'm good till 9. I'm joking. Yeah, I'm good till 9.
Yeah, I know you are. Well, I figured you'd be more of a pumpkin.
I was just joking.
I figured you'd be a pumpkin spice guy, though, instead of the hazelnut. I figured, fall is here, kind of get a little pumpkin spice in your coffee.
I'm pumpkin spice, that's kind of girly.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great smelling candle, Clay.
Not really into the pumpkin spice stuff. No, I'm not really... into the pumpkin spice stuff. It's just, it's interesting that you say that. I bought some candles for my wife, and one of them is a pumpkin spice cedar candle. She was really excited about that, but I said, hey, why don't you pick the night that I'm not around to light that one up?
Well, it's the go-to when it comes to fall. You got to make sure your house is smelling of pumpkin spice and fall leaves and all that great
stuff. Got some pumpkin. You got it. Yeah. And I guess we will have that eventually some night.
Yeah, it'll happen for
you. Not yet.
It'll happen for you for sure. Well, Clay, just out of curiosity, what do you do over the bye week? Is there something you do every single year when Arkansas has a bye week, or is it more just kind of, reset everything, recharge the battery type of event on a weekend for you?
Well, we've done different things through the years, and this particular one was unique because the National Conference for Trout Unlimited was held this past weekend in Rogers, Wednesday through Saturday. I guess there were some events Sunday I didn't go to. So I hung out at those places and rubbed shoulders with the Trout Unlimited folks and learned, what they're doing around the country. Like, man, they're taking out dams. And they're taking out dams to allow the steelhead and the salmon to run deep into their spawning territory. I mean, this is cutting edge type stuff, to blow up a dam and reestablish a native river. And I hope they don't do that around here because if they do that around here, we won't have trout because they'll return to being, the White River would be a smallmouth river if it didn't have, the cold water releases from underneath the dams. You want me to keep going with this?
No,
is that enough?
I think I got it. I think I got the gist of it, Clay.
Okay, you got it. I thought so, yeah. So, but on some of these open dates, I might, I might go to Colorado for 4 or 5 days and fish, or, we might have the wife might talk me into a shopping trip to the Plaza in Kansas City. That's one of her go-to places. Or we might go to Canton, Texas for the great flea marketplace.
Nice.
I don't know if you know anything about that, but Jean Ann has a flea market booth, so she has to stock that up. But this was a stay around here weekend and enjoy the natural state and kind of hosting some of these guys. I did get to fish Friday morning with a couple of celebrities. So
nice.
Anyway, I mean, they're celebrities as far as trout type people. They wouldn't be people that you would know. So you would not have considered them celebrities. I did.
Well, I will just I'll trust your judgment on that when it comes to the celebrities. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
The Morning Rush brought to you by
the I got to watch a little football. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's good. At least you got to do that, Clay. At least you got to do that. The Paint Store in Van Buren is ready to help you with your summer projects and fall projects. And we'll put 31 years of experience to work in helping you choose a new color and match the one you really need. In addition to a computer, they use their eyes and minds to see colors and make adjustments to choose just the right Richards paints for your project. They keep samples in your name and address you and has an address for 10 years. No other paint seller does this. So come see the large selection and the current and popular paint colors from Richards Paint and experience customer service you won't get anywhere else. The Paint Store. You can go over and see Sue and Vicky, 1414 Fayetteville Road in Van Buren, 474-4505. 30 years of experience with Sue and Vicky at the Paint Store. Well, Clay, we've been talking a little bit about Arkansas and Kentucky upcoming this weekend, and the matchup itself, just given the circumstances of and assuming that Arkansas, they're trying to get healthy. We know how important it was for them to get healthy. We'll know more about it, I'm sure, when we hear from Chad Morris today around noon in his press conference about the health. But it seems like that if Arkansas is able to get all their guys healthy and knowing the kind of condition that Kentucky is in, especially with their quarterback situation where they're having to basically find some bodies out there to play in scout team, this seems like it could be a really good matchup for Arkansas to actually get a victory against the Wildcats. But it's all about them getting healthy and them executing as well.
Yeah, I think that the crux of this game will come down to physicality. And what I think Mike Stoops has done with this Kentucky team in his time there, gradually they've become a physical SEC football team. They're good in the trenches. They have not been prolific on offense. And as you mentioned, their quarterback play is, you know, they've had injuries there and lost their starter for the season. He's not going to be back. And, you know, they've got some other guys banged up as well. They can run the ball because of their physicality. And that's the one area where Arkansas is not really good. I'm talking about offensively, the physical nature. So Kentucky's offensive line, to me, is better than Arkansas's offensive line. In the last 2 years, Kentucky's defense has been dominant. Not quite so much this year. They lost five or six really, really good players, including the nation's best defensive player from last year. So they've taken some hits, both injuries and graduations from that team that was really good last year. But I think Arkansas will have to show that they can be consistent in effort and in intensity and play with the same fire that they showed 2 weeks ago against Texas A&M this week at Kentucky. That's the game. Was that a circle the wagons, Chad Morris, we're playing Texas A&M, or is that the level that Arkansas is going to try to match week after week in the SEC, which is a must? So if you don't, Kentucky, because of their physical nature, they'll have the upper hand. So Arkansas has to play with the same effort that they did last week, and I don't think that's a given yet. You know, I think that's something we're going to be waiting to see and find out this week.
Well, and it's funny you bring that up, Clay, because when Arkansas had that performance against Texas A&M, I kind of felt the same thing of like, okay, this was nice. This is the type of performance that you were hoping to get out of him. Obviously, you wanted to get a victory if you're a Razorback fan, but that was the performance you were hoping for. But the thing is that this has happened before against A&M where they've played well, but it didn't mean anything. Just look at last year. So this is key, because if Arkansas comes out and totally lays an egg against Kentucky, then that A&M game almost looks like, once again, some fool's gold. But can they actually build on some of those things that they did against A&M? Can they build on some of that confidence and maybe that some of that momentum that they had and being able to fight through adversity? Because let's be honest, any time that you lose, there's adversity. But in the middle of a game, when you lose your starting quarterback to injury and you have to turn to the guy that's the second string that didn't look very good in his first few games, he comes in, plays pretty well, even though you don't win, that's still got to give you some sort of boost of morale and some confidence heading to Kentucky and having 2 weeks to get healthy. I mean, these are all the most important things of why you have to make sure that you perform well against the Wildcats. Because if you don't, if you come out and you look like you did against San Jose State, where you don't look like you're really prepared to play, you're interested in playing or whatever, that's going to be a really, really bad sign for the Razorbacks. I think Arkansas is good enough to win, but they just got to make sure that they come out and show some consistency and be able to build off of all those good things that they had against A&M as well.
Yeah, and I think the good sign is that now they believe that either one of these quarterbacks can take them down the field. And, you know, that's the Ben Hicks that they thought they had to start the season. And, you know, there were a lot of drop passes. There were a lot of inconsistent decisions where he held the ball too long, trying to figure out some of the – and so I think that they – you know, some of the things that plagued him at the start of the year, the inconsistent routes of some of these young freshmen wide receivers and some drops by the tight ends, all of those things seem to be kind of worked out. And, you know, he should have everybody – I'm talking about either Starkle or Hicks – should have all the receivers really full go. They may even have Jordan Jones. That's an if, but that he's one of those speed guys that would really give them a little bit of a lift and in pushing the top of the defense a little bit. So this might be the week where, you know, they've got all their offensive weapons going and they're healthy. Yeah, I mean, but the key is the intensity and the fire and the want to. Do they have that after an open date where they ought to? They should have been able to put that Texas A&M game behind them and focus entirely on Kentucky and go up there and get a win.
Now, and Clay, correct me if I'm wrong, Mark Stoops has never coached against Arkansas since he's been at Kentucky. Is that correct?
I don't believe that's happened.
Okay, yeah. Okay. So, yeah, this is going to be a new territory for him. But, you know, Mark Stoops is a guy who was able to do some great things with Kentucky. He took over. They went 2-10, 0-8 in his first year. And then last year, of course, went 10-3. This year, they're struggling a little bit. So, Mark Stoops, I mean, he's a pretty good coach. To be able to do that at Kentucky is no easy task. What kind of matchup is this, though? If you're looking at Kentucky, the team, offensively, defensively, their philosophies, I mean, what are the things that, as far as matchups go, that Arkansas is going to have to be sure that they're ready for?
Yeah, it's, again, they're better in the trenches. That's where they've, you know, their offensive and defensive line, they play and look like an SEC unit. Now, you know, the matchup that just jumps off the pages at me, Kentucky rotates two guys at nose tackle. Mm-hmm. They're 375 and 385. Those are big boys.
Oh, yeah.
And if there's some place in the Arkansas offensive line where I look and see, well, they're a little light in the britches, that's the middle. That's Ty Clary's 285 and Ricky Stromberg, who they list him at 266, but he's really about, I think he's probably right at 280 now. I mean, he was, I figure with the open date, he probably gained a pound or two, and he's at 280 now. And they think he'll be at 285 before the season's over. But that's giving up 100 pounds on those two dudes. I mean, that's the matchup to watch. And, you know, can Arkansas get any push up there? Probably not. And so that's just the physical nature of what Kentucky has become, it has impressed me. And when you watch them slug it out, I mean, they should have beaten Florida. And yeah, you saw what Florida did to Auburn this past weekend. So the quarterback play is a significant component of this game. You know, who's got the healthy, functioning quarterback? But as far as, you know, Arkansas being able to blow them off the line, that's not going to happen. It'll be through the pass and through counters. It's not going to be, you know, where the old Kentucky, you could line up and run between the tackles. I mean, that was a given.
Yeah.
And that's not the case anymore with what Stoops has done with this team. And it, frankly, it's impressive. And, you know, you saw almost the same time frame where Stoops came in the league and Bielema came in the league, and they were doing the same things. And it was about recruiting linemen and shoring up that defensive line. And Kentucky pulled it off. Arkansas did not. And so now you've got the same scenario 6-7 years later where Chad Morris, he's taking a team that is inept in the offensive line, just not enough physical big SEC bodies, and that's going to be his task, you know, the rest of this year and then next year to get that line up to speed where if you decide you've got 3rd and 1, you want to run it off tackle, you're going to get that yard. Now, you tell me if they run it off tackle on 3rd and 1 right now, I'm not sure that's the play, right?
No, I wouldn't think so. I wouldn't do it.
You wouldn't do it.
I wouldn't call that play right now, just given the circumstances of what they've looked like.
No, I wouldn't either. Quarterback sneak against these nose tackles, probably not to play this week either.
No, yeah. So short yardage is going to be key in this game to see how Arkansas handles that and what calls they make. The Morning Rush brought to you by Supercuts of Arkansas. They are raising breast cancer awareness and donating to Bright Pink. Bright Pink is the only nonprofit organization that focuses on prevention and early detection of breast and ovarian cancer. Join the fight. Help Supercuts reach their goal of $15,000. Supercuts conveniently serving its community 7 days a week, and they are super into the movement. Supercuts, sharp, clean, fresh, Supercuts of Arkansas. And Clay, you know, you mentioned the push, and that's, I think, maybe if you look at all the disappointing things, that's been really the most frustrating, disappointing thing for Arkansas is in the short yardage situation. San Jose State was kind of the main example of that, where they just have been unable to get push on short yardage situations. I mean, have they? I mean, I know that we've been seeing a lot of games, and there's been some games where it's hard to tell from others, but have you really seen a game or a series or anything like that where the offensive line has really looked good on getting that push against a team? Because I can't think of an example right off the top of my head of where they look good doing it.
Not in the last 3 years, no.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. Really, 4 years. If you want to go back to the last 2 years of the Bielema era, That was not what they did well. I mean, and you got into short yardage, and they'd get stuffed, and they could not run the ball. And until you get your offensive line fixed, that's going to continue. Everybody that thinks, okay, we'll just call this play, or just call that play, or just call this play. It's about being able to whip somebody up front, and that's what football is all about. And when you watch it from, you know, say 20 rows up in the stands, and you focus on things, sometimes you don't realize what really football is what's happening down there. You know, the man against man in the physical nature of what it is, and the strain and the collisions. You go down to the sideline, you get a little bit closer, you can hear it and you can feel it. You don't have to just see it. And you know, Arkansas right now is not winning those battles on a consistent basis. Now, they got some stalemates against Texas A&M, and you say, well that's no good. Well, that's better than what it's been. Yeah. And they did not win that battle against San Jose State, and everybody, you know, Tulsa had done that against them. So it's, you know, so well, what is that? Well, that's being too light in the britches. That's being, you know, it's, you're not playing with juniors and seniors. And when you're playing with juniors and seniors in the offensive line, you look around in the weight and the maturity of being in the weight room for 4 years, 21, 22-year-olds is what you have to have in the offensive line. Well, that's not where they're at yet. And, you know, I was really interested in talking to some people last week about what the young offensive lineman did in the open week, the bye week, and okay, who's the next guy up? Who's the next closest of these young freshman offensive linemen already? And the guy that I kept hearing was Brady Latham, I think from Jinx. You know, his dad I covered. It was a center at University of Oklahoma, and they say this guy was in a fight during 2-a-days. Well, I guess they don't have 2-a-days anymore, but August camp.
Right.
I mean, he squared off against anybody and everybody. I mean, and you think, well, he shouldn't be in a fight every day, but that's true. But the flip side of that is you kind of like it, John.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like he's got – so why was he in a fight? Because he was whipping guys and they didn't like it. Now, he didn't know the offense. He's learning pass sets and stuff like that. But he's a guy that eventually is going to be one of those slobber knockers that you put out there at offensive tackle, and he wins some battles for you, and the pile goes the other way. He's going to be a 320 guy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you look across the SEC. You know, what kind of size do you have in the offensive line? Well, it's not going to be 280 guys. It's going to be 320 guys. And, you know, and every once in a while, you know, have one of those 335 guys. And it just, I watched Auburn in Florida this weekend and watched their offensive lineman, and I picked up went online and looked at their classes and saw the age of their offensive line. And I think Auburn is playing with all seniors. And, you know, that's when you start to move those piles. I mean, you have the understanding of what it takes and the consistency to do it every time. And, you know, that's the hope. And, you know, is it going to be this year? Well, they'll get better this year. You know, I know, they're in the weight room just about every day. Even though it's in the season, they know that they're still in the development stage with all these offensive linemen. I think there's 18 of them, and the freshmen are in there twice a day. In some ways, they might do in the morning, they might do legs, and in the afternoons, or you know, just before practice, they might do upper body. So they're doing combination. They're trying to catch up, and they're trying to build muscle mass,
mm-hmm.
and that's. This is probably really boring for a lot of people, but this is how you get it done in the SEC. It happens up front.
Yeah. No, and listen, Clay, that's the thing, is it's not the sexiest of positions, but it's the most important position in the SEC, because if you don't have that play, if you don't have the push, if you don't have the line, you're not going to be successful. I can't think of any time that a team won the SEC or competed high in the SEC without having great trench play. And, you know, it's very important. And Arkansas obviously has been struggling with that, struggling to get any sort of push defense on the defensive line or the offensive line. And it's ended up costing them in these games for sure. About to get to the top of the hour update here. But before we get out of here, I got to ask you, is your Arkansas home at least 10 years old and served by OG&E? OG&E is offering Arkansas customers a free weatherization program to increase your comfort and lower your bills with a trained crew that will perform an energy audit at no cost to you if your home qualifies. Their crews will install measures that can include attic insulation, LED light bulbs, weather stripping, advanced power strips, smoke alarms, carbon monoxide detectors, and so much more. The services provided through this program are absolutely free to qualifying homes. If you or someone you know could benefit from free home weatherization improvements, call OG&E today at 1-800-272-9741. That's 1-800-272-9741 with OG&E. All right, Clay, 30 seconds left. If you have the game on the line and you get fourth and short, what play are you calling if you're Arkansas? Who are you getting it to?
Yeah, I'm getting it to Rakeem Boyd on the edge or Cheyenne O'Grady over the middle.
Yeah, no, and you know, it's funny. I was going to say the exact same thing with Cheyenne O'Grady. He's the guy to go to in those situations. And Arkansas is going to find themselves in those situations against Kentucky this Saturday. Can they convert? Can they get those first downs? Can they get those scores? That's going to be the difference in the game. And if Arkansas can execute those plays, it'll be a really good game and a really good day for the Razorback.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Everybody's staying home. Now he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're at number three, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
Somebody said we've got SEC bias. Deal with it. They're the best.
In the SEC, it just means...
I know one thing, the SEC just got a little tougher.
This is your SEC update on the Morning Rush.
All right, it is time for your SEC update presented by Ozark Sportsman Supply, your favorite one-stop shop in Northwest Arkansas. Just got better. The range inside Ozark Sportsman Supply is now equivalent to Vegas and Dallas with their indoor ranges with five scenarios for your entertainment. No more shooting at just a dangling target. Build your skill with several skill levels, time drills, and custom settings to choose from. You won't find another experience like this in Arkansas. The new and improved shooting range is now open at Ozark Sportsman Supply on Highway 412 West, barely out of sight of Springdale and Taneytown. So for your SEC update, a few scores that happened around the league. The big one, of course, Florida gets the victory 24-13 over Auburn. Kind of a surprising game there. as it looked like Kyle Trask, the quarterback for Florida, was going to be out for the game as he got hurt. And some people, like Dan Mullen, thought it was a dirty play. It's yet to be determined, but either way, he gets knocked out, but then he comes back in, has a nice game, 24-13. Florida gets the victory over Auburn. Clay, is Florida for real, or was it just a bad game by Auburn? Because they didn't score a single point in the second half.
Yeah, I think that Florida's solid. I mean, it's I know the football writers have a national team of the week, and that's who was picked, who's voted on Florida is going to win that. I don't think it's announced yet, but I participated in that vote, and I mean, it was a unanimous vote, so I know they're going to be.
Yeah.
And they're the team that caused the most stir with the way they played. And more than anything, I think it was a disappointment with the way Auburn played. And their quarterback looked like a freshman playing on the road. And Bo Nix is highly regarded and will probably be a good SEC quarterback, but he was exposed a little bit in this game and just did not look comfortable. And if you were an Auburn fan, then this is a sign for what the rest of the year will be like, because it's just hard to play with a true freshman in the SEC. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't work. And experience does matter, and it matters the most at that particular position, in my opinion.
Yeah, it certainly does. And I mean, listen, anytime that you have a freshman quarterback, it's going to be difficult. But to have a true freshman quarterback heading into the Swamp, I mean, that's a tall task to ask of any quarterback in that situation. So it definitely was not necessarily surprising that ended up being the case. Georgia ends up destroying Tennessee 43-14. Tennessee now falls to 1-4, 0-2 in SEC play. It's not really looking that great for Jeremy Pruitt there in Tennessee in his second year. A lot of fans are tired of it. And listen, they lost to Georgia. There's no shame in that. But I think when you're adding just into the mix of losing all these games that they weren't supposed to lose, and looking like they're in a similar situation with some other teams are in college football, Arkansas being one of them, it's really hard to have a lot of hope going forward for them. But, you know, Clay, I mentioned in the previous segment as we were teasing it out, of LSU and Alabama. LSU beat Utah State 42-6. Wasn't necessarily a close game in any regard, but Alabama had the week off in their bye week. But between those two teams, do you think LSU maybe looks like the better team than Alabama? Because they certainly have some better wins.
Well, I think that they have offensive weapons, and they have a system that seems to be effective, and they seem to have a experienced quarterback in Joe Burrow. What you have to remember is that, Alabama is playing young players on defense. I think they're playing as many as five freshmen. Now, they're not all starting, but they're playing them a lot. And they are probably the most talented freshmen that are playing anywhere in the country. I mean, these are all four and five stars, or at least they were highly regarded. They're going to get better, and I would say LSU has a chance, but until they show they can beat Alabama, I'm going with Alabama. I mean, I just do not. All right, when it comes down to game management, big time games, who do you like, Nick Saban or Coach O?
Oh, Nick Saban, without a doubt.
Yeah. So I just do not see that Coach O will or does understand how to handle a game of that magnitude. He's prone to do something goofy, John, is all I can say.
Well, we'll find out a lot heading into this weekend as LSU has Florida, the team that just beat Auburn, and that game's going to be in Death Valley this Saturday. So that'll be a big game, and if LSU's able to get out of there with a victory and look really good doing it, then it's going to be adding even more hype to that Alabama and LSU game coming up on November 9th. So should be interesting to see how it plays out. A few of the other SEC teams, of course, now I guess there's only four undefeated SEC teams left: Florida, Georgia, Alabama, and LSU. It's almost like as God intended, because those would be, by most people's considerations, the four best programs in the SEC overall. So all of them are undefeated, but at the end of the day, there can only be one national champion and one SEC champion. So we'll see how the rest of the season plays out for these teams. We got one final segment to get into here on the Morning Rush. If you want to get your final phone calls or your text messages via the Cherokee Casino Hotline, Be sure to do it at 877-377-6963. Have a few storylines we want to get into to wrap up shop, look at some other headlines, and close out of our thoughts on Arkansas and Kentucky upcoming this week. Chad Morse will be meeting with the media today at noon, so we'll find out a lot more tomorrow as well.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
The give is to Alex Collins, straight up the middle, and Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas, 80 yards.
All right, the best and the worst of the weekend. Clay, I'm going to go ahead and kick this one off. I mean, I could have gone a bunch of different places, but this one's fantastic. And again, this could be best and worst, just depending on how you look at it.
I got a best and worst. It's the one and the same. So you go.
Okay.
You go,
John. All right, so we'll see. We'll see how this plays out. So I'm going to go with Kansas basketball, or I guess just Kansas in general. Now, it has been promoted throughout the past few weeks up there in Kansas for the Jayhawks that they would be having Snoop Dogg perform at their, you know, Midnight Madness type game. They're screaming. And obviously, basketball is a very big deal in Kansas. You know, they've been battling through some of the NCAA violations. We'll see how those play out. But it's a very big deal. And they were saying, hey, they're going to have Snoop Dogg, Snoop Dogg, Snoop Dogg. And it got to the point where even before Snoop Dogg played, him and Jeff Long, of course, the athletic director of Kansas, were posing together and having a good old time. Well, before we know what's happening, when I wake up on Saturday morning, I see all these videos of the events of Snoop Dogg performing at the Midnight Madness game for Kansas. And, of course, not only is he performing some of his greatest songs, but he also has it to where there are stripper poles out on the court to which dancers are dancing on. Female dancers, if you will. And needless to say, it was not received very well by a lot of the families that were there at the Midnight Madness game. Of course, also the social media aspect when those videos got out as well. Kansas has now come out, and Jeff Long has come out and apologized about this. This was not their intention, yada, yada, yada. Here's my two things on this whole thing. Number one, what did you expect when you schedule Snoop Dogg to have a concert at your sporting event? I mean, I'm no spring chicken, and I know that you're not either, Clay, but you know that who Snoop Dogg is, and you could probably guess that if he's going to have a concert at your event, it's not necessarily going to be the most family-friendly concert. He's not going to come out there and tell kids to stay in school and read their books and eat their vegetables. That's not his style. So that's number one, that I think it's funny that Kansas think that they didn't expect this to happen. Number two, it's also pretty ridiculous that in all of this, and on this day and age, and with the sports and all that, it is great that this happened to Kansas with all the NCAA issues that they're going through as well. Just add another fuel to the fire there, where they got a lot of outrage, you got a lot of upset people. It's just adding one more mix into the thing. So I guess it's the best of the weekend for me, because it's if you're not a Jeff Long fan, it's fun to see that type of struggle, but it's also funny because they honestly, truly believed in Kansas that Snoop Dogg would come in and not have anything like this happen when it comes to having dancers and stripper poles and all that. So that was my best of the weekend, Clay.
Yeah, when I heard this is exactly my reaction. When I heard that Snoop Dogg was going to be there for their Midnight Madness, I said, oh no, Toto.
Why did you say, oh no, Toto?
You don't know about the Wizard of Oz in Kansas and the tornado?
Well, yeah, but yeah,
the
I know
little
about
dog,
that.
You know, oh no, Toto.
Yes, I know that, but I guess I thought you were trying to say some reference to like Snoop Dogg being.
Yeah,
know, dog.
Snoop Dogg.
Okay.
Dog, oh no, Toto, Kansas. It's like, oh no, Toto, not Snoop Dogg. It's just, I'm sorry if you don't get it. I'm sorry. I won't try it again.
No, it's okay, Clay. I will.
No, I like your best and worst. And I mean, it's like, I mean, would you think that they would have an idea what a stripper pole is?
Yep.
Maybe Jeff Long did. I mean, this is, to be real honest, it is very funny that they didn't get it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like, wait a minute, you didn't get this?
Like, Clay, they had to unload them off the truck. Like, what
they had to.
What
yeah,
they think they were going to be used for?
They didn't just grow out of the floor when they pressed a button.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. Oh, man. Yeah, that was great. So what do you got for your best and worst of the weekend?
My best of the worst is the Cowboys.
And
it's just, you know, it's like, I mean, in one respect, it's really sad that, you know, that they can't get it together. And, I mean, I don't know how long they're going to go with Jason Garrett, but they can't. I mean, it's not changing. It's they're going to be right where they're at until, you know, they change coaches. In my opinion, you know, that what is this? How many years is it? It's a bunch.
Yeah, I think he's been there since like 2010, maybe. I don't know. I have to check it out. He's been there a while.
And then the reaction of Jerry Jones when he found out that the penalty wasn't for the way he protested or any other way. It was just that he used the wrong word. Mm-hmm. And he will certainly be fined. And he says, what? The official, the little darling? He called him a little darling? So it's the best and the worst to me right there. The Cowboys and Jason Garrett and then Jerry calling the official a little darling. I don't think you can do that.
No. And here's the thing about, and you know, you mentioned Dallas Cowboys, Clay. It's like it's not like they don't have talent, man. They got serious talent. They're in a division that's fairly winnable. I know the Eagles have recently won a Super Bowl, but it's not like they're playing in a difficult division every single year.
No, they still may win their division.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the Redskins are, what are they, 0-5 now? They're not competitive.
Yeah, just fired their coach this morning, Jay Gruden. So, yeah, they're not competitive either. But, you know, that's probably a good one because I'm going to admit, Clay, I'm not a Dallas Cowboys fan by any stretch.
Me neither.
But it is one of those things that I always pay attention because of the Jerry Jones angle. And, of course, there's a lot of Cowboy fans here in Arkansas, and I'm honestly just asking this. I'm not trying to troll anybody or trying to trigger anybody or anything. I'm just asking, as a Cowboys fan, I mean, you've only won two playoff games since 1996. Like, I'm a casual Jets fan, and the Jets have won like six or seven playoff games since then, and they're a terrible franchise. That's got to be the most frustrating thing. Is you're worth the most, you have the most money, you have a brand, you're in a great football city, you have a great history and tradition, and yet
got the best stadium in the world.
Yeah, best stadium in the world, and you can't even get to an NFC Championship game. And I guess the closest they got was the Dez Caudet game against Green Bay a few years ago, where they probably should have gotten there. But it's got to be frustrating for Cowboys fans to year after year feel like this is going to be the year. It's going to be when it happens, but ends up falling short every single time. That's just got to be terrible. It's got to be frustrating too. So, no, that's a good one as well. Another one I wanted to throw in here, Clay, was I guess for my best of the week, and I have a few small ones here as well. Have you ever? I guess you have. Did you go to the game in Arkansas and Ole Miss? I guess it was in 2002 in Fayetteville when they had the streaker on the field. Do you remember that?
I do remember that.
Okay. So you've been to a game where you've seen some participants on the field. And
no question.
And it's funny to see how people react to that and what they do. Do they just let it slide? Do they let the police department come out and get them or however it happens? Well, anyways, in the Oregon football game over the weekend, they had a participant. They had a streaker that was out there. Now, he was clothed completely, so I got to make sure that I get the right type of streaker. He's just a guy who looked like some drunk student fan having a good old time. Well, he's out there on the field, and he's out there and he spends a lot of time before anybody really starts to run after and get him. So an Oregon football player just goes over and absolutely decks this guy. I mean, complete and total perfect form tackle, takes him to the ground. And, of course, people were all outraged and criticized and thinking that's not the place for a player to go out there and happen. But, Clay, if you see a participant like that on the field, how do you think it should be handled?
I think they should rope him and tie him up and, you know, throw him in the cooler for a while. I mean, somebody should go out there, you know, with a lasso and then take them down, tie their feet and their hands, put them on a cart, haul them out. That's how they should be hit.
Okay.
Handled. Hey, my best story on, and we're talking about best and worst.
Yeah.
Best story in the history of Razorback football with the, you know, fans being on the field. It was 98. Arkansas lost the game at Tennessee on the Sterner Burlesworth fumble. The next week they lost at Mississippi State because they didn't have their kicker. And Todd Latterett, you know, was like arrested for open container or something.
Yes.
You know, in downtown Fayetteville. So Mississippi State wins the game right at the end. I believe they made a field goal or whatever, and their fans stormed the field. And a Russ Brown, who is about as mean and tough and nasty a football player as you'd ever want to have. I mean, he was a down and dirty guy, played offensive guard, the other guard from Burlsworth. And I'm watching him, and this Mississippi State fan with this big cowbell runs up to him. And, I mean, Russ is 6 foot, 305. I mean, he's just a block of granite. And this guy's dancing around with this cowbell in Russ's face, and Russ tells him, you can see him point to him like, get out of my face. I'm not sure that's – there may have been some other words kind of interjected in there, some adjectives. It's like, get out of my face. And the guy just kept doing it. And Russ has got his helmet in his left hand, and his right hand comes out, and it's a straight right to the nose. And the guy's nose just spluttered. I mean, blood went everywhere. And, you know, the trooper that's with Houston Nutt immediately sees that, grabs Russ, and they run off the field. And I look for Russ in the dressing room because the dressing rooms were open, and his locker, there's nothing there. It's empty. So the backstory on that, Russ just told me a couple of weeks ago, is they took him straight to – there's a trooper car that escorts the bus. They took him straight – because they thought he was going to get arrested. You know, somebody was going to come and grab him. They took him straight to Tupelo, got him on the plane, and he was on the plane still with – most of his uniform still on when the team got there because they wanted to get him back to Arkansas so he wouldn't get arrested. But
oh my god,
he's splattered that guy's nose.
Jeez,
Hey, the moral of the story: do not ring a cowbell in front of Russ Brown. Don't do it.
Apparently so. Yeah, lesson learned in that regard.
Yeah,
that's because what year did you say that was?
That would have been 98.
98? Yes. Okay, yeah. So 98, man, that's – I had never heard that story, actually. I didn't know that.
It's a great story.
Yeah, that is a great story. It's a great story. So, yeah, don't ring cowbells in front
of that
guy.
Best of the weekend.
There you go.
And it goes all the way back. That was the best of 98, too. That was a bad weekend, yeah.
Yeah, overall, that was pretty bad. Also, real quick, I want to throw in one final best of the weekend. Best of the week I want to throw out to – the University of Arkansas, the athletic department, and the fans that showed up at the Barnhill event for the red-white game.
Absolutely.
Because, listen, I know that a lot of times, especially on Saturdays during football season, a lot of people have a lot of different things going on, especially if there's a bye week. People kind of want to get away. They may want to be traveling. They may have stuff going on. But with the beautiful day that it was and the event that was going on, I mean, I would say, again, there's not an official attendance number, but I would say there's probably about 7,000 people that showed up at Barnhill Arena for a red-white game. I'd be curious to know if any number has ever gotten close to that for a red-white game here in the past 10, 15 years, I'd be hard-pressed to find it. But such a great event, and I think it was awesome, especially with all the former players there, but especially seeing Nolan Richardson and Eddie Sutton standing alongside each other, getting pictures taken, and Eddie being there. That was awesome, and the treatment that he got and the resounding ovation that both coaches got. And to put on that event and knowing that it was going to be a difficult task having it, a basketball game inside of a volleyball court, essentially is what it is now, was really well done. And having the band there and having all the throwbacks was great. So great, great job. You know, U of A and the athletic department, they get a lot of criticism for some of the stuff they do, but not today for me. That was an awesome
event. They
pulled it off. They pulled it off. They did a great job of it. So
great start to the Eric Musselman era.
Absolutely. And we'll see how it plays out. And again, the honoring of Nolan Richardson will be on October 20th for that game. So that's going to be another great event as well. So there you have it. There is the best and the worst of the weekend.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.